something here? All right. You say you're a mercenary? Whoa. Pardon me, sir. So we are recording and all of that. I'm going to share something with you. I don't know if any of you have ever tried to do a Bible study or you've tried to take and do prepare a lesson. Sometimes it just, boy, God is just awesome and he just comes. I mean, God's always awesome. But there's times whenever it's really easy and it's just like, boom, oh, yeah, you got it. You're done. You don't have to put hardly any time to. Then there's those other times whenever you're in prayer, you're reading the Bible, you're doing all the things trying to, what am I supposed to teach on? Well, that's the way I was with this. Jerry and I knew quite a while ago that we were going to be sharing the different lessons on the Thursdays. Because of my schedule having to go to Phoenix, Jerry was so gracious to allow me a little more time, so that's why he taught last Thursday as opposed to tonight. Well, I've got to tell you, I struggled and struggled for the topic. And every time I kept looking for a topic for out there, God kept bringing me back to me. Gee, you know, he never does that with any of us, right? Well, I need to share a little bit with you as to kind of what set this up for me. I work for the state of Arizona, and of course we have to be diverse. In everything that we do, we have to be diverse. We have to, we want diversity around us. It doesn't matter what the lifestyle is, what the sin is, all that. We need diversity around us. Consequently, what do? We draw in people with a wide variety of lifestyles. That's a good political way to say that, right? And we have to welcome them, and we can't, you know, discriminate against them in any way, shape, or form. Well, as I was looking for a topic and whatnot, God kept bringing my youngest sister on my heart. She just really kept placing my sister on my heart. Just so you know, my youngest sister was raised basically in the same household that my sister, myself and my next youngest sister were raised in. God-fearing parents, we went to church, we did all the things we were supposed to do. Whenever I was about 18, no, I guess I was 19, I came home on my first leave from the military to find out my parents were separating. Well, my youngest sister is 15 years younger than I am, so that tells you she was about 4 years old, 5 years old. The young lady that was raised in the church, even though mom and dad were separated, my mom still made sure she was raised in the church, supposedly had a life-changing experience and accepted Christ, is a practicing femme-Nazi lesbian. So I struggle with the whole hate the sin, love the sinner, and I was trying to find something in the Bible where it pretty much tells us that. There really isn't anything in here that tells us love the sinner, hate the sin. But there are a couple of passages that you can see where we can derive that from. And we're going to take and go to that in just a minute. If you would, I just wanted to take and open us up in prayer and just give praise to the Lord. Father, I do come before you, and first and foremost, I ask your forgiveness, Father, for the terrible sins and the many sins in my life, Father, all the times that I fall short, all the opportunities you give me, and I just fail to step up to the mark. I ask your forgiveness for that, Father. And I do pray, Lord, that you would prepare our ears and prepare our hearts, that each of us will walk out of here tonight with a better understanding of your word, Father, and how we can apply it to our own lives. Father, we give you all the praise, and what a sweet time of worship, and I just thank you for sending your spirit, Father, that you'd join us and that you would take time and to be with us and just come to this service. We give you the thanks and the praise, Father, and we pray that you're honored this evening in the time that we spend together. In the name of your Son, Christ Jesus, amen. You know, if you were to take a poll of the average American, you're going to find that, for the most part, by and large, whether they acknowledge being Christian or not, that they pretty much have an understanding and an agreement with some of the basic biblical principles, such as Ten Commandments. You talk to anybody, most people say it's not right to take and kill. It's not right to take and commit adultery. You shouldn't steal, right? The basic biblical principles. Well, turn with me, if you would, to Leviticus 19:18, because one of the things we're also told that they were supposed to be doing, and the average American is going to say, yeah, I subscribe to that. Jerry, are you there? I'm going to take and go around, and we're going to share tonight. I liked Jerry's approach last week. We're going to share a little bit. So, Jerry, if you've got it, or if somebody else has Leviticus 19:18, I would ask that you would read it, please. Yeah. What's God telling us there? He's telling us we're not supposed to be the one to take the vengeance, right? But that we are supposed to love our neighbor. That's easy, isn't it? I mean, you guys are all my neighbors. You're my brothers and sisters in Christ. It's easy to love you guys. Well, it is. It's easy to love most of my neighbors. It's easy to love the people that are within my community. It's easy to love the people that I have an affinity with or that we've got a particular interest, right? That's easy. But what about whenever your neighbor is somebody else? What if your neighbor, okay, yeah, Shane's running through some of the different things. Neighbor, the kids play together. We share common values, ideologies. We tend to be in proximity. Go on, if you would, dear. These are our neighbors, right? It's easy. Who doesn't love Billy Graham? I mean, come on. That guy, I mean, God's love just flows out of him. It's easy to love Billy Graham. And who doesn't love Shirley Temple? I mean, come on. She was the cutest thing, right? How can you not love her? Huh? And she still is, absolutely. She's doing great things for the country. I think, isn't she still an ambassador or did she finally retire? Yeah, she's still an ambassador. Yeah, I mean, who doesn't love Shirley Temple? And look it up there, you know? Yeah. That's Barabbas. Yes. What about these? Yeah, aren't these are more of our neighbors, right? It's easy to love these people, isn't it? Yeah, I don't know. Look, somebody, you know, Troy must have just got back from his cruise. Look, he's got a tan. But it's easy to love these neighbors, isn't it? I mean, next one, baby. Okay, what about these neighbors? Yeah, okay, yeah. Now you got to kind of go, Because, you know, doesn't matter what your political view is, you know, you still have to go, what do I think about George Bush or Oprah Winfrey? What about Hillary and good old Madonna, you know? How can you not love somebody that wears a cross around her neck because it's got a sexy naked man hanging on it? How can you not love that? What about these? These are our neighbors. These are our neighbors in the world. Charles Manson, Osama bin Laden. Look at there. How can you not love? Well, they're in love. Look at the two couples. How can you not love that and celebrate and be joyous for them? They're our neighbors, aren't they? Go on, dear. Turn with me, if you would, to Matthew 5:43. Gets a little, you see where we're going, where I'm going with this, don't you? I mean, I kind of... Now, would I step on anybody's toes? No. God beat me up over this. I got to tell you. And I struggle and struggle, and I still struggle with this. Who has Matthew 5:43? Maybe it'd be easier if I just go ahead and do it here. If I can find Matthew. Let's see. Zephaniah. Let's see. That's one of the, that's the New Testament, right? No, I'm kidding. Junho, I'm kidding if you're listening to this. All right, Matthew 5:43. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor. Now this is Christ talking to the crowd and to the disciples, right? And hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use and persecute you. Ooh, how many of those people that we were seeing back there are wanting to persecute us, are wanting to hate us, curse us? We're supposed to be doing good to them. Now, I got to tell you guys, I come from, you know, I was raised all my life to go in the service. My dad was really hard, very militaristic, even though he never spent a day in his life. All my life I heard about how, Merrill, you owe your country a debt. You have to pay that debt because we've come from a long line of men that served the country. Some made it through the different wars and whatnot. Others didn't, unfortunately. But you've got a debt, right? Freedom's not free and all the rest of that. So it was very easy for me to go into the Air Force after I went through ROTC in high school. Then I went to the service. Nam had just ended, but we still had that Russian war. I mean, they had the Cold War. I still had an enemy. And I got to tell you, I would have had no problem invading Russia and going in there, kicking some Russian rear ends and doing whatever the job took. But that's not what I'm called to be as a Christian. And, you know, at that time, right now, I struggle. The flesh side of me says, I think we need a glass parking lot in Iraq right now. No problem. We need a place to take and land the jets, refuel them, take and maintenance them. But that's not what God calls us to be, is it? What's God tell us right here? God says to love our neighbor. Whenever Christ talks in here about, you've heard it said, he didn't say, my father says, he says, you've heard it said, you shall love your enemy and hate your, or love your neighbor and hate your enemy. Do you guys know where that comes from? That was a play on the Leviticus 19:18 by the scribes and the Sadducees. They interpreted some of that, the verbiage and everything, because it talks about your people. Well, of course, who was their people? Their people were the Jews. So anybody else that wasn't a Jew was what? They're a Gentile, or they're barbarians, or they're scum, and so we can do whatever we want with them. Love thy neighbor, hate thy enemy. Everybody that wasn't a Jew's what? They're an enemy at that time, right? That's where that comes from, but that's not what Christ tells us, is it? We're not allowed to take and hate our enemy. We're called to be quite the opposite. God calls us, Christ calls us. Love, he says, but I say to you, love your enemies. Bless those that curse you. How easy is it to bless somebody when they're cursing you? as long as you turn quickly and walk in the other, works every time, doesn't it? No, realistic. How easy is that? Goes against our human nature. Goes against my human nature. Maybe you guys are far more amiable than I am, but that goes against my human nature. You want me to do what, Jesus? Okay. That's not enough that he wants me to take and bless those that curse me. He wants me to do good to those that hate me. Oh, come on now. I got to do good. I got to bless them and do good to them. Oh, my goodness. And then I got to pray for those who spitefully use and persecute me. Oh, man. It ain't easy being a Christian, is it? Man, I'm tall orders, marching orders that we've got to take and go by. Huh?
I was just filling in your gaps.
Oh, you're filling in my gaps for me? Well, thank you so very much. What's the golden rule? The original, the true golden rule. Now, what is the golden rule? Not today's version. What's the golden? You would have them do unto you. What's today's golden rule? And then split, right? Yeah, isn't that the way to change, right? Do unto others and then split. Yeah, that's right. Kind of falls a little bit in face of what it is our Lord's called us to be and what our Lord's called us to do, doesn't it? Moving on here, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven, for he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good. Now, I got to tell you, two things really stuck out to me in this right here. Am I way ahead of it? Oh, you want me to I did recap Leviticus here. Oh, okay, you're going back to, okay. My wife, just so you guys know, I did this thing. I'm studying this, and I come back, and Cindy says, guess what I did for you, honey? I put together a PowerPoint presentation. All right, thank you, darling. So please bear with me, and I apologize that my wife is so awesome, and I was, like, behind the eight ball, okay? Anyway, recapping here, Leviticus, huh? Yeah, absolutely. Again, recapping Leviticus 19:18, it tells us, do not seek revenge or bear a grudge against one of our people, one of your people. But what's Christ tell us? Because this is what Christ is quoting. He's going right back and quoting Leviticus. Christ doesn't say our people, does he? Christ is telling us any people.
Yeah.
Reading ahead. But love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. When he does that, that's the definitive right there, isn't it? I mean, that kind of like shuts everything up. I am the Lord. Not me, not you, not I am. Go on ahead, baby. Okay, we kind of got beyond that, yep. How can we respond? Go on, we got beyond all that, honey. Proverbs. Let us go to Proverbs 25, because how can we respond to those who hurt us? Proverbs 25, 21 and 22. And I'll bet some of you folks have it memorized, so you knew exactly what this is going to say. Oh, come on. 25, 21, and 22. If somebody has it, they're welcome to take and jump in and read it.
If your enemies are hungry, give them food to eat. If they're thirsty, give them water to drink. Mm. Burning coals on their heads, and the Lord will reward you.
Yep. I got to ask you, have any of you ever been angry with somebody and just be ranting at them and they bless you? What's it do to you? I can say I have. That just like just kick the legs. Or it just takes the legs right off from under you and you just sit there just in utter shame, don't you? It makes you really go, I can't. Yep. Yes, indeed. Yep. Just how do you, like you said, just turn around and walk away, because how do you respond? You know, it just takes the wind right out of your sails. It absolutely does. Yep. Yep. That's what we're called as Christians to do, is that right there. Unfortunately, that's not always what we have done, what I have done. What's that? To heap coals? Yes, you do. Yes, because you get some interesting people up there that... Yeah, something about the green uniform just brings out the nasty in some people. Yeah. Yeah. Well, what's one of the ways that we can overcome evil with good? If you'll look with me in Romans 12:17, Paul kind of helps us along with that a little bit, doesn't he? And then go ahead and stay in Romans a little bit, but you'll want to keep your finger there in Matthew. I guess I could have told you that ahead of time. And I'm sure some of you that have wonderful memories have this memorized. I've got the mind of a steel sieve. If something goes in, something else falls out. 12:17. And if somebody beats me there, please don't be ashamed to go ahead and read.
Repay no evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men.
Repay no evil for evil. No, I guess we can't. Because vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. So we can't retaliate. We're supposed to love them and show them Christ. That's not an easy task, is it? Yes. Yes. Unfortunately. Okay. And then, if you would please read on Brother 20 and 21 there. Christ goes back and Paul is re-quoting back to the Proverbs, isn't he? Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. You know, I pondered this for a while because I was thinking, how, and I mean this seriously, how could we convince Osama bin Laden to change his ways through our good? Whenever you've got an individual, and this is a question I raised in my prayer time, how can you convert, how can you change the mind of somebody that their whole existence is to ensure that we are eliminated? Well, prayer, okay. There you go. Yep. There you go.
We teach this in the marriage class. This is part of what we cover, is when you can't love your spouse with the typical love that you just flow from day to day. You when you're going through difficult times, you use agape love. You use God's love to love that person because it's not within you in your normal nature. So we do the same thing. are fighting or at a standstill. At times you feel like the enemies and not like your friendly foes. But you use the agape love to get through those tough times, because there's times when you absolutely can't stand each other, so you have to love with God, because you can't do it on your own.
But I think you're also right, Gary, that we do need to have a solid understanding of the Word, because I think we do need to... You know, what immediately comes to my mind is I remember reading about one of the ladies. She was a Christian in China, and she was just constantly being tortured and beaten and everything. And every time the guard would come to take and, you know, to carry out the daily beatings on her, she would just, I love you, I pray for you, talking, you know, just sharing the love of Christ with this person. Not only did she finally get released, he was won over her, this one guard that continued to have to torture and beat her all the time. She won him over to Christ. I mean, I read that and I asked myself, wow, would I have the fortitude? I know my nature. I know that I tend to be a little bit hot-headed and stiff-necked. And I, well, you know, God's revealed that to me over the 50 years. And but, you know, I mean, you look at that and I think you're absolutely right. Yep. Absolutely. So by sharing that constantly, but we've got to know it, got to have it, got to be able to take and respond with it. Going on here, let me go back to Matthew 45. Do you have it up, honey? Five 45. That you may be sons of your Father, and you can also consider the sons and daughters of your Father in heaven, but of course, because of the time that this was written, it's written in the masculine sense. He makes his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. Do you know what it meant in this time, at the writing of Matthew, what it meant to be a son of? Do you know what the implication is there? To be a son of is to be like that individual, like the father. If it was actually a compliment, if you would say, you know, just the way we know all the genealogy, they're so fixed on names and, oh, you're the son of, and genealogy was so important. To be the son of, to be like the sons of your father. That means we have to be like our father in our mind, the way that we approach things. We're supposed to be godlike or Christlike in our approach to things. Oh, you're racing along with me, baby? Why do you have it under 48 then? Please, brother, please. Yeah, this is a study. I mean,
it's so important that it's not saying like be perfect as God.
No.
Is perfect, because we still have sin still in the flesh. But it is to be mature and complete.
Let me throw something back at you. Are we supposed to stop trying? We're supposed to strive with every breath that God gives us to be what? To be perfect, to be holy, to be godlike, to be Christlike. Can we do it in the flesh? No. But that doesn't mean we're not supposed to continue to try to do it. Absolutely. And now, see, you must have cheated. You read my notes. Look, that's what it says right here. No. I'm giving you a hard time. Matthew 48, so you're moving on here, baby? Well, no, because I got some stuff to fill in the middle here. For if you love those who love you, what reward have you? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet your brethren only, what do you do more than others? Do not even the tax collectors do so? What's Jesus telling us there? We're supposed to be different than the world, right? I mean, who in the world doesn't say, hey, brother, how you doing? Hi, Gary, how's it going? Oh, I'm doing great. How's the job? Oh, the job's great. Treat you well. Come on over for dinner. We're having steak and potatoes tonight. Come on over. Who doesn't do that, right? Is that what we're supposed to do? Is that's the end of it right there for us? We're supposed to stop right there? No. We're supposed to go to the guy that just kicked us in the teeth or whatever and say, I'm having steak tonight. Come on. You need a meal. Let's go. Let's go talk. Give me an opportunity to witness to you, maybe. And that's not easy, is it? Not easy at all. No. Ah, I see. If it was sushi or something else, okay, yeah, go ahead. Steak, I don't know. Okay. Yeah. Anyway, you know, the bottom line here is really it's easy to love those that love us. We see it all around us in the world today. We, however, are called to be different than those in the world. Turn with me, if you would, please, to Luke 6, 32 and 33. But if you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. Once again, we're supposed to be different, aren't we? Because we're not the world. The world does that. Matthew 5:48. I hope you all didn't leave Matthew 5. Therefore, you shall be perfect, just as your Father in heaven is perfect. 1 Peter 1, 15 and 16. The first, 15 and 16. Oh, okay. Yep, 1 Peter 1, the first chapter, 15 and 16. But as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. Does God really expect us to be perfect? And that's what you and I were talking about, Gary. And yes. He really does expect us to be perfect. He expects us to be holy. We're called to be holy because we are sons of, daughters of. Yep. This is the standard that our perfect God establishes for us. Can we attain perfection? I can't on my own. I don't know. Maybe some of the rest of you guys have found the key, but I don't think any of us can because we were born sinful. We've got that sinful nature. It's only through the power of the Lord living in us, dwelling in us. I'll use my own self as an example. If there's anything good in me, it is only because God is in my heart, because all the rest of me, anything else, is vile. You know? Ask my wife. No, don't ask. You know? But, I mean, isn't that the reality? I mean, I think of where I was and where I've come from and where I am today. Anything that's good in me, absolutely, is because I've got the Lord Jesus Christ in my heart. Because I try to take and live my life in a godly fashion that I see the example set for me. If I walked away from this life, I could go back to the old lifestyle. I mean, it would be very, very easy. There you go. There you go. Yep. And God willing, as we become more and more mature, that desire is farther away and we stumble less often and Satan has to work three times as hard to tempt us with something, right? I mean, reality. In what ways can we love our enemies as God loves them? I think we talked a little bit about that, didn't we? Share the word with them. I mean, I think about so many people that I encounter in my job that are lost. They don't get it. They don't understand what the real... You know, I can give you food stamps. I can give you cash assistance. I can give you medical. But I can't give you what you really need because our hands are tied behind our backs. We're not supposed to take and share what they really need. What do they really need? You need a right relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ, because if you had that, other things in your life are going to fall into place. You'll quit having sex out of marriage. You'll quit having children that you can't take care of. The dads won't be walking out the door on you, you know? Maybe you'll get an education you need. You'll get the job that you need. But that's not what we do. We throw Band-Aids on arterial wounds and try to take and help them.
Did you see that thing on the news the other night about this guy that went out and set up homes just with a hot tub?
Mm-mm.
It was quite interesting. Now, the media didn't say anything about him being a Christian or anything like that. They did show one picture of him laying a hand with some friends on him in the back of his pocket. But he started out just seeing the need of his community, of the homes people on the street.
Praise God. Very cool.
Yeah, it was. It kind of made me feel humble here, you know.
Uh-huh. Yeah, use me, huh? Who will I send? Ooh, ooh. Very cool. If you don't have God filling that God shaped hole within you, then you're searching. Yes. But not everybody.
Yeah.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. My final. Oh, yeah. Very good. Thank you. What I wanted to do is I just wanted to take some time right now and all of us just kind of search our hearts, ask the Lord to reveal maybe some of the people in our own lives that maybe we need to pray for. That I know in my own instance, I already told you, put some people on my heart that I need to pray for, and I need to just ask the Lord that he would help me to work through some of the relational issues and whatnot. And I just thought we could each of us take a little bit of time, because I doubt there's anybody sitting in this room that there isn't at least one person in the world that they don't have an issue with that they need to take and ask the Lord to help them to deal with. So if we could just take a couple minutes, and then, brother, if you would close us in prayer tonight. Is that right? I just thought we could just take some quiet time, or if we wanted to do it corporally, Very good. Very good.